Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Tafsir class with myself, Abu Musab. So last time we had stopped in the Tafsir, we had just completed Surah Al-Fatiha. So if you are following up the Kitab, like I say, the download link is available on Ummah Forum in the Ummah Radio section, the thread, Saturday night Tafsir class. In there you can download the Kitab Mukhtasar Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and we are currently on page 26 of that particular print of the Kitab. Like I say, we completed Surah Al-Fatiha, and tonight inshallah we will be beginning Surah Al-Baqarah. So then without further ado, Bismillah walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. He starts the surah, he says, Surah Al-Baqarah Madaniya illa ayah 281, فَنَزَلَتْ بِمِنَا فِي حَجَّةِ الْوَدَاعِ. He says that Surah Al-Baqarah itself is a surah which was revealed entirely in Medina, except for one single ayah, that is ayah number 281, because that ayah was revealed at Mina on the farewell hajj, the Hajjatul Wada'. Other than that, the entire Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in Medina itself. Therefore, it is a Madani surah. Now, surahs are of either Makki surahs, meaning it was revealed in Makkah, or you have Madani surahs, meaning it was revealed in Makkah. Some surahs were revealed partial in Makkah and partial in Medina, some total in Medina, some total in Makkah, and some ayat were revealed on more than one occasion. So you would find perhaps at times a sahabi saying this ayah was revealed in Makkah, while another one says that it was revealed in Medina. The ulama, they explained that no, what happened is that there's no contradiction, but rather this ayah was revealed in two places. So it came down in Makkah and it came down in Medina as well. Therefore you find two differing interpretations or opinions from the sahaba. So that's just something to keep in mind for when we do reach any such statements. But for now, Surah Al-Baqarah as it stands, it's a Madani surah except for this one single ayah as is mentioned here. So to start, the Kitab says, Al-Baqarah jami'uha madaniyatun bila khilaf wa hiya min awa'il ma nuzila wa ayatuha 287 ayat. He says that Surah Al-Baqarah, the entire surah, is a Madani surah without any difference of opinion. There's nobody who say that no, maybe the first few ayat were revealed in Mecca and then it went over into Medina. No, everybody's unanimous that Surah Al-Baqarah, despite how massive it is, being the longest surah in the Quran, despite that, it is an entirely Madani surah. And the ulama and the sahaba and them, they have no difference of opinion on this point. He says, from وَهِيَ مِنْ أَوَائِلِ مَا نُزِلَ, from the beginning itself, Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in Medina. There was no place in time that the person could say it started in Makkah and continued until Medina. No, it started right from the beginning. It was already in Medina. So he says, it contains 287 ayat. That's the entire Surah Al-Baqarah. And it just so happens that ayah 281, which would be six ayat before the end of the surah, that one ayah was revealed at Mina. Okay, to continue on, he says, ذِكْرُ مَا وُرِدَ فِي فَضْلِهَا. He will mention here something which have been narrated with regards to the virtue of Surah Al-Baqarah. And as is the habit of Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he'll always start with either Quran or Hadith before he moves on to anything else. So he says, أولاً, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا فإن البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة لا يدخله الشيطان. The first hadith which he quotes, he says, Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not make your houses into graves, because the house wherein Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, the shaitan does not enter or cannot enter into that house. This is an authentic hadith. It's reported by Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Nasai, rahimahumullah. So obviously it's an authentic hadith. I'll read the second one and then make a quick comment. ثانيا, the second hadith, وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن لكل شيء سناما وإن سنام القرآن البقرة وإن من قرأها في بيته ليلة لم يدخله الشيطان ثلاث ليال. The second hadith, Hazrat Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed for everything there is a peak, a pinnacle, a hump, and indeed the pinnacle of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah, and indeed the one who recites it in his house at night, shaitan does not enter into his house for 3 nights. So from these two hadiths we can see here, Surah Al-Baqarah has the virtue is quite vast and numerous, but it's also a protector against shayateen. So if you happen to find yourself, like how so many people are affected by jinns and shayateen, and they feel that there is something in the house and everything of the sort, here we have from authentic ahadith, a solution, that you recite Suratul Baqarah. And the thing is that if you are able to recite the Quran, you've got a tongue, you are able to read the Quran in Arabic, then you should read the actual surah yourself physically. If you are, let's say you recently converted to Islam, or you cannot read the Quran in Arabic for whatever reason it may be, or perhaps you can't speak or anything, then in a case like this, it would be permissible. You can take a CD and you can let Surah Al-Baqarah be read like that in the house, and inshallah it will have the same effect of protecting you from shaitan. But if you are able to read and you play a CD alone, it will not have the same effect. Wallahu a'lam. That's just a by the way point. So in any case, one of the salient features of Surah Al-Baqarah is its protection against shayateen. As long as you are keeping it a habit to recite it in your house will be protected against shayateen. The third hadith, he says, ثالثا وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثا وهم ذو عدد فاستقرأهم فاستقرأ كل واحد منهم ما معه من القرآن فأتى على رجل من أحدثهم سنا فقال ما معك يا فلان فقال معي كذا وكذا وسورة البقرة فقال أمعك سورة البقرة قال نعم قال اذهب فأنت أميرهم. Okay, a quick question here. How often would you say Surah Al-Baqarah should be recited? Preferably, a person should recite it at every third day. As you can see from the second hadith, that shaitan does not enter the house for 3 nights. So, you know, you have guaranteed protection for three days after reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay, perhaps Allah may keep the protection there for longer, but we are told from this hadith that the protection is there guaranteed for 3 days. So if you are able to recite it every 3 days, well and good. If not, then you recite it whenever possible, and inshallah you can keep your house in a state of protection. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, I just read a bit slower because I was requested to not speak too very fast. So in any case, the third hadith I just recited, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he narrates and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out an expedition, a group of sahaba, and he said wahum dhawu adad. They were quite a number of sahaba. They were being sent now on an offensive jihad, a small group of sahaba out to go carry out a raid or whatever it may have been. So he says, فَاسْتَقْرَأَهُمْ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started requesting them to recite. فَاسْتَقْرَأَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So each one were reciting how much of the Qur'an they had. فأتى على رجل من أحدثهم سنا. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a person who was the youngest of them in age. Meaning, you have now a number, let's say maybe 50 people, and some are old people, some are middle aged, and now he is a youngster. You can say maybe he's 17 years old or something like this. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما معك يا فلان? What do you have of the Quran, or so and so? So then he said, I have this in this surah, and I also have Surah Al-Baqarah. Meaning he had memorized the entire Surah Al-Baqarah already. So this can give you an idea of when this took place. Obviously, as we know, jihad only came into effect in Medina. Jihad was previously not ordained during the Meccan era. But in any case, we know Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed over quite a lengthy period of time. So it was quite late in Medina when this would actually have taken place then. So he says, I know this surah and that surah and so on and so forth, and I also know the entire Surah Al-Baqarah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do you know the entire Surah Al-Baqarah? So then he said, yes. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, go, you are the leader of the group. I put you in charge, you lead everybody on this expedition. So here, to show what honor and virtue is contained within Surah Al-Baqarah, that despite this person being the youngest of everyone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam put him in charge of over everybody solely due to the fact that he had memorized the entire Surah Al-Baqarah. So it should give you also a bit of an idea that if this is the honor bestowed upon a person who memorized one surah, okay, it's quite a lengthy surah, but for one surah, what still will be the reward and the virtue and honor granted to a person who has memorized the entire Quran? And obviously, memorizing the Quran does not mean memorizing it and just storing it on a bookshelf, but it means memorizing it and loving according to it and putting it into practice, and of course sharing it and teaching it to others. In any case, then he was sent out and he was put in charge of the army, and the army was dispatched. That's the end of the hadith. To move on, he says, Rabi'an, hadith number 4. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اقرأوا القرآن فإنه شافع لأهله يوم القيامة اقرأوا الزهراوين البقرة وآل عمران فإنهما يأتيان يوم القيامة كأنهما غمامتان أو غيايتان أو كأنهما فرقان من طير صواف يحاجان عن أهلهما يوم القيامة ثم قال اقرأوا البقرة فإن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا تستطيعها البطلة. The fourth hadith is reported by Hadrat Abu Umama رضي الله عنه, who said that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, recite the Quran because it will be an interceder on behalf of its reciter on the day of Qiyamah. Recite the two bright ones. Al-Zahrawan means the two bright ones, which are Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran, Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَأْتِيَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَأَنَّهُمَا غَمَامَتَانِ أَوْ غَيَايَتَانِ. Because these two surahs will come on the day of Qiyamah as though they are two clouds or two shaded coverings. أو كأنهما فرقان من طير صواف, or they will come like two flocks of birds in lines. يحاجان عن أهلهما يوم القيامة, and it will argue on behalf of its reciter on the day of Qiyamah. Meaning that if you are a person who is in the habit of reciting Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, then on the day of Qiyamah, these two surahs will intercede on your behalf to have your punishment lessened, or to have you entered into Jannah, or to have your stages raised higher in Jannah, whichever it may be for you, your individual situation. These two surahs will come there to be of benefit to you on the day of Qiyamah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اقرأوا البقرة, recite Surah Al-Baqarah, فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً, because the one who holds on to it, and obviously recites it a lot, there's barakah, there is blessings in it. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً, and whoever abandons it, or rather to abandon it, is to fall into loss. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةً, and the people of falsehood are not able to do it. Now, let me read this last line. He says, الزَّهْرَوَانَ الْمُنِيرَتَانَ وَالْغَيَايَةَ مَا أَظَلَّكَ مِنْ فَوْقِكَ وَالْفَرَقَ الْقِطْعَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْءِ وَالْبَطَلَةَ السَّحْرَةَ. He says the Zahrawan means the Al-Muniratan, the two light illuminated bright ones. Wal-Ghayaya, that means that thing which shades you from above. And Al-Faraq, It refers to a portion of something. So here, if you look at the ending of the hadith, this is a commentary now from the narrator, Imam Ibn Kathir. He says, Az-Zahrawan means Al-Muniratan, the two bright illuminated ones. Al-Ghaya wal-Ghayaya, Ghayaya means Ma Adallaka min Fawqik, something which shades and covers you from above. Wal-Faraq, Al-Qita'atu min Ash-Shay, a portion of something. While Al-Batala refers to As-Sahara, meaning sorcerers. So here at the ending of the hadith, وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ, and the batala are not able to do it. Now, there are actually two interpretations that the ulama give to this part of the hadith. One is al-batala, literally being the ahlul batil, the people of falsehood. So, وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ, the people of falsehood, they are unable to recite Suratul Baqarah. The ulama explained, because of the length of Suratul Baqarah, the people who are on batil, it's too long for them, so they are not able to recite it. They give up, or they just feel it's too long, so just ignore it. So that is one interpretation. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ, the people of batil are not able to recite it. The second one, as Imam Ibn Kathir, he mentions here, وَالْبَطَلَ is as-sahara, the sorcerers. So the sorcerers are not able to recite Surah Al-Baqarah, nor are they able to be on par with their magic and shayateen against Surah Al-Baqarah. Because as was mentioned in the first hadith, that Surah Al-Baqarah is a protection against shayateen. So additionally, you can see from here, this interpretation, that it is also a protection against sorcerers. So, the sorcerers will not be able to harm you, nor will the sorcery and shayateen and things be able to harm you if you are a reciter of Suratul Baqarah. So that's the one interpretation. And the second interpretation, like I mentioned, was the people of Batil, which as is like the one person correctly says, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, as is mentioned in other ahadith and places as well, that the munafiqeen, the two salahs which are too difficult for them, which is Fajr and Isha, obviously people, they want to sleep at that time, so these two salah are hard upon them. So likewise, it's the same, similar meaning here, that this surah is too difficult upon them due to its length. It does not literally mean now that the person is a munafiq, kafir, fi nari jahannam khalidina fiha abada, as a result of it. No, but obviously, a person should not be from one of the people of batil and leaving Suratul Baqarah aside in, as you can say, because you feel it's too long or whatever the case may be. Any case, continuing on to the next hadith. He says, Khamisan, hadith number 5. وعن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يؤتى بالقرآن يوم القيامة وأهله الذين كانوا يعملون به تقدمهم سورة البقرة وآل عمران. صففت حديث is reported by حضرت النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه. He said, I heard Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that the Quran will be brought on the day of Qiyamah, and its people, those who acted upon it, they will be led by Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran. This is similar to what I mentioned previously on Hadith number 3, when the virtue of the person who had memorized Surah Al-Baqarah was mentioned. So this is a similar thing. What I mentioned there is that it's not just for a person who memorizes it and then just carries on as though it's nothing, but rather it's the person who lives according to it and teaches it and acts upon it, lives according to what is made permissible in the Quran and avoids that which is made haram in the Quran, and so on and so forth. So that is with regards to this hadith here, that the Quran and its people will be brought on the day of Qiyamah, and the people will be led, and the Quran also, the two surahs which will lead everybody will be Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran. That is the end of page 26, and it's the end of the first chapter with regards to the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah. Obviously, this is not, the, as you would say, the only virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah. There are others as well, but this is a small kitab of tafsir. It's not meant to run on for 46 pages just giving the virtues of a particular surah. So therefore, Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he keeps things rather short and simple. Five ahadith are more than sufficient to prove the virtue of this particular surah. In any case, we'll move on to page 27 and start Surah Al-Baqarah itself. It says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil Muttaqin. Alif Lam Mim. That is the book, La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil Muttaqin. No doubt. Okay, this I will explain in a moment. There are two translations on this ayah, depending on where you stop. You can say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, like that. Or you can say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Okay, let me translate in English, makes it simpler to understand. That is the book wherein there is no doubt. It is a guidance for the people of taqwa. That's one interpretation. And okay, it's not quite interpretation, it's quite literally a literal translation. Just like, you know, depending on where you put a comma in the sentence, the meaning changes accordingly. So likewise with this ayah, yeah. So the other meaning is, that is the book, there is no doubt that it is a guidance for the people of taqwa. So one says, there is no doubt in this book, meaning the Qur'an is quite crystal clear, there is no doubt anywhere in it, and this Qur'an is a guidance for the muttaqeen. The other meaning says that there is no doubt whatsoever that this book is a guidance for the muttaqeen. Slight difference, obviously, as you would naturally be expected, but yes, anyway, that's two translations that you get of this starting part of the surah. Moving on to the tafsir itself, he says, Alif Lam Mim. اختلف المفسرون في الحروف المقطعة التي في أوائل السور. فمنهم من قال هي مما استأثر الله بعلمه فردوا علمها إلى الله ولم يفسروها. حقه القرطبي في تفسيره. He says, Alif Lam Mim. The مفسرون, the ulama of tafsir, they have difference of opinion with regards to these حروف المقطعة. This Alif Lam Mim, Sad, Qaf, Noon, Yasin, Taha, all of these ayat are what are termed in Arabic as the حروف المقطعة. So he says that the ulama, they differ on what is the meaning of the, or rather, okay, let's say basically the meaning of the حروف المقطعة, which comes at the beginning of the surahs. So he says, some ulama, they say, يَمِمَّا اسْتَأْثَرَ اللَّهُ بِعِلْمِهِ, that Allah alone has the knowledge of this. This knowledge Allah has kept to himself, so we leave the knowledge of that to Allah and we do not interpret it. He says, this is the one view. This is reported by Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir. So, any case, he mentions here, this first view is reported by Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, and this is the view also held by Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti, rahimahullah, and many other ulama as well, that they do not interpret all these hurufi muqatta'at, the alif, lam, mim, and things. They leave it and they say, Allahu a'lamu bimuradihi. That's the sentence you'll find every time in Jalalain, that Allahu a'lamu bimuradihi, Allah knows best what its meaning is. So many ulama, they do leave the meanings of these certain these ayat and say, Allah knows best what its meaning is, we don't interpret it, we don't know what it means. That's the one view. He says, وَمِنُ مَنْ فَسَّرَهَا, and there are those ulama who interpret it. واختلف هؤلاء في معناها. Now these ulama who interpreted, they have difference of opinions on regards to what it means. فقال بعضهم هي أسماء السور. قال الزمخشري وعليه إطباق الأكثر. Some ulama, they say that all these حروف مقطعة, these are the names of the surahs. And Imam الزمخشري رحمه الله, he says that there is a lot of as you can say, ulama also who hold this opinion as well. Who, like you would say, this is, for instance, then Surah Alif Lam Mim. And okay, we do know Surah Yasin is called Surah Yasin, Surah Taha is called Surah Taha, Surah Qaf is called Surah Qaf, Surah Noon is called Surah Noon, Surah Sad is called Surah Sad. In fact, all those ones that have there, those surahs are actually called by those names, incidentally. But anyway, he says, yeah, this is one view, another view that says that these words which come at the beginning of the surah, these letters, these are actually the names of the surahs itself. So this is the second view. وَقِيلَ هِيَ إِسْمٌ مِّنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And a third view, they hold the opinion that these letters that come at the beginning of the surahs, these are the it is names of Allah Ta'ala, يَفْتَحْتِحُ بِهَا السُّورِ, with which Allah opens and begins the surahs. فَكُلُّ حَرْفٍ مِّنْهَا دَلَّ عَلَىٰ إِسْمٍ مِّنْ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَةٍ مِّنْ صِفَاتِهِ. So each of these letters points out to a name from the names of Allah or an attribute from the attributes of Allah. So the ulama, as you can see, they have this difference of opinion on what exactly these words are and how it is basically, you can say, to be treated. So that's the third view, that it is the names, a name from the names of Allah. So he explains, he says here, فَالْأَلِفُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ. So the alif, he's interpreting here, for example, alif lam mim, he says, the alif which comes at the beginning, this is the key, basically it stands for Allah. وَاللَّامُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِهِ لَطِيف. The lam, alif lam, this lam stands for the name of Allah, al-latif. While وَالْمِيمُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِهِ مَجِيد. While the mim stands for the name of Allah, which is Al-Majid. So this is how some ulama interpret it. They say that each letter stands for either a name or an attribute of Allah, and therefore they would interpret it according to that. So he says, وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ إِنَّمَا ذُكِرَتْ هَذِهِ الْحُرُوفُ فِي أَوَائِلِ السُّورِ الَّتِي ذُكِرَتْ فِيهَا بَيَانًا لِإِعْجَازِ الْقُرْآنِ وَأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ عَاجِزُونَ عَنْ مُعَارَضَتِهِ بِمِثْلِهِ مَعَ أَنَّهُ مُرَكَّبٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْحُرُوفِ الْمُقَطَّعَةِ الَّتِي يُخَاطَبُونَ بِهَا. حكاه الرازي عن المبرد وجمع من المحققين وحكاه القرطبي عن الفراء وقرره الزمخشري ونصره أتم نصر وإليه ذهب الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وشيخنا الحافظ أبو الحجاج المزي رحمه الله. So he says, those were, as you can say, three opinions of the ulama. And he says that other ulama say that these letters have been mentioned at the beginnings of the surahs for the purpose of explaining the miraculous nature of the Quran. And that to show that the creation are unable to bring about something and argue against it with something equivalent. Despite the fact that these harufi muqatta'a is made up of the same letters that you use in your, as you can say, in your normal speech. These are not special letters. It's normal, a normal alif, a normal lam, a normal mim and everything. So it's your words and everything, but you are unable to bring about a likeness to it. This is what is being reported by Imam Al-Razi from Al-Mubarrid and a group of the muhaqqiqeen. And Imam Al-Qurtubi, he also reports it from Al-Farra. And Imam Zamakhshari, he held firm to this opinion as well. He advocated it. And Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned, وَنَصَرَهُ أَتَمَّ نَصْرٍ. He helped it and aided it in the most complete of manners. وَإِلَيْهِ ذَهَبَ الْإِمَامُ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, he also held this same opinion, that the Alif Lam Mim and these other letters at the beginning of the surahs, they are there to show the miraculous nature of the Quran, that no one is able to imitate it. And he says, similarly, our Shaykh Al-Hafidh Abu Al-Hajjaj Al-Mizzi rahimahullah, he also was of the same opinion. So moving on, he says, قال الزمخشري ولم ترد كلها مجموعة في أول القرآن وإنما كررت ليكون أبلغ في التحدي والتبكيت كما كررت قصص كثيرة وكررت تحدي صريح في أماكن. He says, Imam Az-Zamakhshari rahimahullah has said that all of these words didn't come at one time at the beginning of the Quran, but rather they came and has been repeated at many places in the Quran. This, as you can say, these حروف مقطعات, they are spread out throughout the Quran. It's not, you're not going to open the Quran here to the front and find everything over here, or perhaps at the back of the Quran and you find everything over there. No. Nor is it only, as you would say, in one or two surahs, but rather it's spread out over numerous surahs. So he says, the reason for this is so that the challenge and the reprimand and rebuking the people can be more and more of a repetition and more emphasis upon it. He says, كَمَا كَرَّرَتْ قِصَصٌ كَثِيرًا, like how many times Allah mentions the various stories in the Quran, and Allah repeats it over and over again and again at various places of the Quran. It's not just mentioned, like for instance, the story of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel is repeated time and time again in the Quran. Fir'aun and how Bani Israel were ungrateful, and Iblis and he's being kicked out from Jannah, and all these various stories of the Quran, Allah mentions it again and again for the sake of you getting as you can say, the ibrah, the lesson, taking a lesson from these stories. So he says, وَكَرَّرَ التَّحَدِّي الصَّرِيحِ فِي أَمَاكِنْ, and the challenge, the open challenge has been repeated in many places of the Quran. He says, وَجَاءَ مِنْهَا عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ وَاحِدٍ, and these حروف مقطعات, they have come amongst it, it has come as one letter. For example, صاد, it came as two letters. For example, حاميم, it came as three letters. For example, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ, it came as four letters. For example, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ صاد, and it came as five letters. For example, كَافْ هَا يَا عَيْنْ صاد. So these حروف مقطعات, they come as five different forms throughout the Quran, not as you can say, as one particular, they only come as three letters or something of the sort like this. So in any case, he says here, let me just finish off that last piece. He says, so these حروف مقطعات, they come as one, two, three, four, and five letter words at numerous places in the Quran. It says, لِأَنَّ أَسَالِيبَ كَلَامِهِمْ مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ وَعَلَى حَرْفَيْنِ وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةٍ وَعَلَى أَرْبَعَةٍ وَعَلَى خَمْسَةٍ لَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. It says, the style of their speaking, meaning he's referring here now to the Arabs, is that their speech is either made up of one letter, two letters, three letters, four letters, or five letters, and not more than that. This is the, as you would say, the original letters. You don't have six original letters. If there's six, then it's a mazid fi, with additional letters which are not part of the original word itself. So anyway, so he says that therefore Allah had brought these حروف مقطعات like this, in this manner, to just show the people Allah uses your same words, and yet you are unable to bring about something to imitate it. Wallahu a'lam. So on that point there, inshallah, we will stop for now, and next week, inshallah, we will continue on and from this point again. So until then, we end and we say, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.